Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 35, part 3 of Dreamcast's episode on poisonous love, toxic relationships. This episode is about whether or not you should leave or stay in a toxic relationship, and if so, how. The key thing to remember if we are in a toxic relationship and we're trying to make a decision on whether or not we should continue is deciding if we really want to work through the issues. And then if it can be worked on. If we believe that there will be mutual effort, willingness to change, and sometimes even professional help might be necessary, it's possible that we can improve a toxic relationship. It requires commitment, communication, boundary setting, and addressing the underlying issues. Most importantly, we want to remember that our safety and well-being are the most important factors. If we truly feel that our well-being is in danger and not going to improve, that is a good indicator that we should not remain in a toxic relationship. But if we decide that we can work through these issues, here are some ways that can help. First, we want acknowledgement. As with any problem, we have to acknowledge that there is a problem. We already know what toxic relationships look like and what they feel like. So if you feel that there is that constant repetitive negativity, and we know that we are in fact dealing with a toxic person, both parties must acknowledge that that is what is happening. The non-toxic person has to be aware of what they're dealing with and thus can seek how to change it. And the toxic person must acknowledge that they have a problem and want to change. Because if they don't want to do anything about their behavior, obviously, then there's no point. Next, we want identification of the toxic behavior. What about, you know, asking ourselves, what about the relationship is toxic? Is it the communication? Is it because they're unsupportive? Is it jealousy, possessiveness, controlling tendencies? Like, what is it? We have to identify the problem. There may be more than one behavior to be addressed, but by being specific or putting a name to the behavior, it can help us to address it. And it's important to reflect inwards and make sure that we aren't the ones being toxic to the other person. By doing this and then making any needed changes on our parts, this can definitely obviously help benefit the relationship and encourage the other person to do some reflection and changing if necessary as well. Next, we want to communicate the issue. Once the problem has been identified, the toxic person needs to know what it is, and they need to be told clearly and assertively. And what helps is to use I statements. That helps prevent defensiveness. And then we want to follow that up with what we need instead and what the consequences will be if that need is not met. So an example of this would be to say something like, I feel bad when you call me stupid, or I feel bad when you call me dumb. It'd be better if you took some time to calm down or relax before you say things like that to me. If you keep doing it, I won't be able to maintain a relationship with you. I won't be able to keep being around you. So in this way, we have used an I statement, I feel bad when you blah, blah, blah. We have followed that up with what we need instead by saying, you know, it'd help if you took some time to yourself to calm down. And then we let them know what the consequences would be if they did not meet that need by saying if they continued that action or behavior, we wouldn't be able to maintain the relationship or we wouldn't be able to keep being around them. Next, we want to be observant for changes in the behavior. If a clear and concerted effort has been made to change and the behavior stops being present, we have success. If there is no change, now we have to make a decision on whether or not we're going to continue in the relationship, whether we're going to end it or just set new or more boundaries. We have to remember that we can only control ourselves. So there's really only so much we can do to affect positive change in the relationship if it's just us doing it. Now, if the decision is made to leave the toxic relationship, we need to make sure we have emotional support. Find people that are close to you and open up to them about what's been happening. A lot of times we don't like to ask for help or we don't like to tell other people our problems, but those people that love and care for us and our well-being will want to be there for us and want to support us through something like that. This can help give us advice on how to cope with the toxic person, toxic relationship. They may offer us ideas on how to leave and provide valuable insight from an outsider's perspective. Sometimes we might not see things the way others do, and it can really help benefit us to open up to someone and have them give us that kind of insight. We may need to seek support from a therapist. I did that a few years ago, and it really helped me to not only reflect on what it is I wanted and didn't want, but also my therapist at that time provided me with different activities that I could do to help learn those things better and to cope and to grow out of the mindset I was in at the time. So we don't need to be, you know, some people don't want to go to therapy, don't want to have a therapist, but therapists are really guides and they're, you know, they're professionally taught how to help us in various situations. So I definitely would encourage it if that's something that you need to do. If we feel like we need support to go and end the toxic relationship, we can bring someone we trust with us. This can provide really good emotional support and safety, and we'll be less likely to be swayed by the toxic person to stay in the relationship. Sometimes we might, you know, have a conversation with the toxic person and we're like, you know, this is not something I want to continue. And they might say certain words or do certain things that make us question if that's the right decision or for us to stay. And we came in knowing that that's not what we wanted and leave the conversation still being in the relationship. So if we feel like having someone there will help, then that's something we should do to help us to set and keep our boundary. Whatever boundaries we make, we need to strive to keep them. If we decide that we need to cut off all contact with the toxic person, we need to stick to that decision. If we keep letting the person back into our lives, especially after providing them with multiple chances, they'll feel like they got away with it and got away with it without consequence. We really have to be assertive and clear in what we want and what we want their place to be. And if we need to take it further, like if we think that they might start bothering us with a bombardment of unwanted calls or texts, we might need to block them or change our number. So there's definitely things that we can do to analyze, you know, what is best for that relationship, whether we should stay and again acknowledge the problem, identify the behavior, communicate the issue, and then set boundaries. And if those things don't work, we can make the decision to leave and, you know, stick to our decision. Our next and final part on poisonous love, on toxic relationships, will be life after toxicity. How toxic relationships affect our future relationships and our future lives, because just because we end something doesn't mean it doesn't have an effect on our futures. And so we're going to discuss that on our next episode. I thank you for listening to this episode of Dreamcast, and I wish everyone a wonderful, positive, energy-filled day.